Well, a very good morning to you on this Wednesday morning. And I think it's the 12th of November. No, it's the 13th. Anyway, it's early in the morning. Well, fairly early. I've been outside working and I've been chopping wood and getting the stove lit. And now I've got a massive clear up to do in my bedroom because coming back from Belfast on Monday, I just dumped everything in the bedroom. I didn't bother to unpack or anything. Anyway, what I wanted to talk with you this morning about is extremely relevant in the world today. Because I'm noticing more and more that the ancient Irish culture is being, I think, in many ways severely compromised. Yeah, I know that sounds very dramatic, but from my perspective, it is dramatic because I've watched this grow over the past few years and it disturbs me greatly. So let me just say exactly what it is. Here in Ireland, for thousands of years, before we were invaded in the 10th, 11th century, we had only one language, and that was the Irish language, Gaelic. And many of the words that come specifically from that language continue to be in use today. For example, the months of the year. Now, those of you who have purchased a calendar from Beltane Cottage before will know the months of the year in Old Irish, Ancient Irish, the ancient language, the language of our ancestors. And it's very pertinent to note that the Celtic festivals, which fell at certain times of the year, are marked on the ancient calendar as the months of the year. So we're looking at So starting with the name of this cottage, the word for the month of May is Beltane, or those who don't know how to spell it or pronounce it will call it Beltane, which it is not. It is Beltane. Then we have the festival of Lunasa, and Lunasa is Irish for the month of August. Then we have the festival of Samhain, and Samhain is Irish for the month of November. Now the only one that doesn't directly correspond from the ancient language is Imbolc, and Imbolc is now noted as the month of February, although February itself in the Irish calendar is a different word and a different spelling, obviously. But I strongly suspect it was because the Christian Church directly supplanted this festival with the festival of St. Bridget. And it's now actually a public holiday here in Ireland. We recognise Bridget the goddess, Bridget the saint, and Bridget the historical figure. So the three festivals plus Imbolc, or Imbolc. Imbolc literally means milk or the milking. And I think it refers to the milk of the sheep, the ewe, E-W-E. which is the first milk. So what's happened over the past number of years has been that these sacred festivals, and they are very sacred festivals because they are so ancient, they predate the scribes, the Christian scribes who wrote down as much as they could about the ancient Irish. Although, of course, that was very much coloured, if you like, with Christianity. But they did recognise these old festivals and made a point of documenting them. Now, what's happened over recent years, we'll go back to this, is that these ancient festivals, these words have become, they've been taken out of context, they've been taken out of the language, taken out of the Irish culture, and embedded into what is modern day Wicca or witchcraft. And I was looking online earlier today, and I went on to both Amazon and I think it's called Temu, just to see the kind of stuff that was being peddled in the name of Wicca and witchcraft. And in much of their calendars and wheels of the year, especially the Wheel of the Year, those ancient Celtic festivals are there. And yet they've got nothing to do with Wicca or witchcraft. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. These festivals have been taken up by new, if you like, I'm not too sure how witchcraft would be described, because we've never had witchcraft per se in Ireland. I mean, I know that women were burned right across Europe and in England and Scotland and Wales, but I think there was only ever one endured that horrible fate here in Ireland, and that was to do with an Anglo-Irish lady and her maid, and it was the poor maid who got stuck into the burning pile, you know. So we here in Ireland we've never even used the word witch. It seems a total anathema to us. Wise woman, yes, goddess, absolutely, because of course we have hundreds of different goddesses. Women have always been acknowledged in the Celtic culture as being of supreme importance. And if you research the Brehon Laws state this, that women were always seen as being equal to men in terms of property rights and whether they're able to hold the kingship, the chieftains. I mean, you know, you've got Granuaile, you've got Queen Maeve. You know, there's so many strong women in Irish culture, in ancient Celtic culture, that permeates right through the culture to this day. You know, and women like myself, Irish women like myself who are outspoken, we are classified as brave and bold, you know. And I've spoken a lot about this over so many podcasts and so many YouTube videos. So and also here on this platform, which is my website, and I've written about it as well. And in fact, my books, Now, the first book, A Cottage and 3 Acres, was very much about my journey and how I ended up here and what I did and how I transformed things. But the second book, In Search of the Goddess Rising, and the third book, Walking Between Worlds, goes into aspects of this, what I'm talking about today, in some detail. So I was shocked to see how loosely the words denoting these ancient Celtic festivals were sort of thrown about and spelt badly. I mean, it is not Beltane. It is the same spelling as this cottage for the month of May, which is when I first bought the cottage in May. Therefore, it was called Bealtaine, Beltaine. So it is disturbing for someone like myself who is very much imbued with the goddess culture. I don't have to dress up in a funny hat and wear black clothes and sit on a broomstick. I mean, where did that come from? I very much suspect it came from the patriarchy. You know, as a way of setting women who were wise and had knowledge, setting them aside into this kind of group in the corner that you have nothing to do. Oh, she's a witch. And then, oh, she's a witch, so we'll burn her. Oh, she's a witch, so we'll duck her in the pond. She's a witch, so we'll isolate her. You know, modern day Wiccans and witches need to own their own history and their culture. And if that's the path that they choose, make sure that you practice it well. Don't try to take things from other cultures that have nothing to do with Wicca or witchcraft. And, you know, I actually have friends who would call themselves a witch or say that they're part of the Wiccan tradition. And the Wiccan tradition, by the way, goes back to the 1950s. It was sort of, how would you call it, rebirthed, if you like, in England. I mean, you've got Gerald Gardner, for example, and you've got Alexander. So you have these two traditions, which both came out of the male perspective, can I say. They weren't rebirthed by women, except if you look at Doreen Valentia. Yeah, I mean, yes, there are women there, but it was men at the top. He said, okay, this is now called Wicca, or this is now called witchcraft, and it was an old woman in the woods who told me all about it, so therefore I'm carrying the power to tell all of you what this is about. Women need to own their power. And if they choose that path, throw off the shackles of what you've been told and investigate it for yourself and learn about it and bring it back into your culture and question everything. You know, question, where did this black pointy hat come from? Has that got something to do with the Puritans who set sail in the Mayflower? Is it to do with the kind of black and white culture of the Puritans? Where did that emanate from? Because I know that all the burnings of women emanated very much from the Reformed Church Protestantism. I think Germany in particular. So, you know, there's such a mishmash of cultures going on. And I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate that at all. Because the culture that I come from here in Ireland appears now to be a kind of a worldwide mockery, if you like. If you are going to include ancient Celtic festivals in your own spiritual devotions, whatever they may be, know and acknowledge where that is coming from. So I do intend to talk about this further and even do a YouTube video on it. But at the moment, I'm in a kind of a state of shock, having seen the commercialization, and not just the commercialization of my ancient culture, but the completely misinformed commercialization of my ancient culture. And there are so many people around the world who would rightly acknowledge their Celtic culture. So it's important that we hold it, It is very ancient, it is very sacred, and I say sacred in a very profound way, because women were regarded as 100% human beings and not some old hag in the corner. In fact, here in Ireland, the older one gets, and I am experiencing this myself, the older one gets, the more respect that person receives. And I definitely experience that as a woman every day when I'm out and about. So just to skim on the surface and see how women are treated, and I'm not talking about, you know, how the church has treated them, etc. I'm talking about the general society, the general perception of women. Not only do we birth the human race, we tell the stories of the human race, and in particular, the stories of our culture. And for anyone to say culture isn't important, well, I don't know what bucket you've got your head stuck in, but I can reaffirm here and now at the end of this podcast that culture is the very essence of who we are and what we carry forward. And I'm talking culture, not brainwashing. Culture. Blessings to you all. And you'll hear a bit more from me on this subject.